Order.
Back from his trip to China and in the House for the first time in a fortnight, the Prime Minister kicked off the day by correcting an answer he'd given in his last question time.
Mr. Speaker, in response to a supplementary question asked during oral question 12 on 27th March, I said that Ian Fletcher's appointment was made by the State Services Commissioner. I should have said the appointment was made by me following a recommendation from the Commissioner.
Mr. Key was to end question time with another correction, following his answers to this question about his role in Ian Fletcher's appointment from Labor's Deputy Leader Grant Robertson.
How did he come to have Ian Fletcher's phone number when he called him in July 2011?
Right, Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, no clue.
But Mr. Key's answer failed to amuse the Speaker.
No, order. It was a reasonable question, which I don't think should be difficult for the Prime Minister to answer. How did he come to have the phone number?
Mr. Speaker, I genuinely have no clue. I don't know how I got the number.
Delighted opposition cries of clueless inspired Grant Robertson's next question.
In light of his last answer that he is clueless about these matters...
No, that will only lead to the floor. Would the member please ask his supplementary?
Supplementary question, Mr. Speaker. Can the Prime Minister understand why New Zealanders are struggling to believe anything that he has got to say on this matter when he can't even answer the question of how he came to have Ian Fletcher's phone number?
Right, Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, no, because I didn't at that point have Ian Fletcher's mobile phone number. For the best of my knowledge, I rang actually the directory service to get actually the Queensland number. I don't actually have his number.
Have a point of order.
It was from New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters.
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary question time will become a total waste of the time, but the Prime Minister can make it up as he goes along. He told the House that he happened to have his number. Now he explains weeks later that he went and found it somewhere else. He didn't have the number. What's the truth here? And that's the purpose of question time.
Order, and it's pretty clear to me that on reflection he had time to remember how he now recalls that he got the number. I don't think that's unreasonable at all.
And so to the end of question time, and another correction from Mr. Key.
Mr. Speaker, I've now checked with my office. We cannot be 100% sure whether I rang directory or my assistant rang directory. It's possible of either. It was either redirected or the number was given. We're fairly sure it was redirected. There's the fullness of the answer.
Thank you. Order. That concludes questions for oral answer.
Question time was followed by the third reading of the Crown Minerals Bill with its controversial heavy fines for damage caused to ships and rigs exploring for oil and gas on the high seas. And that was also the subject of questions, as Rhys Lyon reports.
Green MP Gareth Hughes wanted to know why public submissions weren't being allowed on a recent amendment to the Crown Minerals Act, an amendment made after previous public submissions were completed.
Will he recommend returning the Crown Minerals Amendment Bill to the Select Committee so that the public can have a say on the so-called Anadarko Amendment? If not, why not?
Honourable Simon Bridges.
As I told the member last week, question time, no.
Supplementary question, Gareth Hughes.
Why then is the Minister rushing ahead to pass the so-called Anadarko Amendment into law, given that a recent poll out today shows 79% of New Zealanders and over 60% of National Party voters want the amendment to be withdrawn completely or at least sent back to a select committee hearing?
Honourable Simon Bridges.
Well, I know it was a Greenpeace poll, and what's very clear is that if you ask a certain question, mischaracterising the law, you get a certain answer. Actually, if they characterise the law correctly, I'm sure they'd find it's very popular among many New Zealanders.
Mr. Hughes then cited the opinions of some high-profile New Zealanders.
Are the Right Honourable Sir Geoffrey Palmer, Peter Williams QC and New Zealander of the Year, Anne Salmon, and over 36,000 New Zealanders who have signed a petition in the last few days all unreasonable to be asking for public consultation on this amendment?
Honourable Simon Bridges.
Oh, they're clearly wrong in their legal interpretation.
The Green Party energy spokesman then asked the Minister for a guarantee.
That we won't see a Gulf of Mexico-sized oil spill in New Zealand, and if not, isn't deep-sea oil drilling, rather than peaceful protest, the dangerous and reckless activity he should be stopping?
Oh, there are very robust processes and regulations coming through this bill, in fact, that make me very confident that we won't see that sort of disaster.
Energy and Resources Minister Simon Bridges.
That report from Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program was brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.